وصلني بإيده وما ضل علي علي
Music from the 1970s film Ali, Fear Eats the Soul by German director Rainer Werner Fassbinder. Now, two of Australia's leading theatre makers, playwright Daniel Keane and the director Ariette Taylor, have joined forces to bring us a play that's partly inspired by that classic film. It's called Dreamers, and it's a defiant story, really, about a young immigrant man who was hammered with racist abuse because of the colour of his skin and who falls in love with a much older woman, a white Australian widow. Joining me in the studio are the playwright Daniel Keane. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Nice to have you here. And the actors who play the man and the woman, Yomal Rajasinghe. Good morning. Nice to have you here. And Helen Morse.
Good morning.
Nice to have all of you aboard. So, Daniel, briefly, I mean, I know the answer to this because I saw it the other night, but share with Australia what this play is all about.
Well, it's about many things, but I think it's mainly about the fear of difference or the fear of change, I think. Because the play is set, it's a small community, a tight community, and into that community comes a stranger and something happens that they're not used to, that seems different, that threatens them, basically. So those angry responses and those violent responses and those hateful responses, I think, are all about people not wanting the boat rocked or their habits changed or what they're used to be any different.
You write in the program, I wish that writing a play like Dreamers wasn't necessary.
Yep. Well, I wish it wasn't. I mean, I wrote the play several years ago, or 4 years ago, 5 years ago, for a company in France, and the problems that it addresses are the same there as they are here. Perhaps racism, I think, in France is a bit more visible. Here it's opaque and much more deadly because people pretend it doesn't exist.
I didn't actually appreciate that. So it was a French story before it was an Aussie story, wasn't it?
Yeah, I wrote the play for a French company based in Toulouse called Tabula Rasa, and it was performed in France at the National Theatre in Toulouse. But so this is the first time it's been performed in English and the first time I've ever heard it in English, so that was interesting for me.
And how is it different?
Well, it's in English, but the production, of course, is quite different. But it's interesting how it because the problem with it, I thought, was that it's very French because I knew it was for a French company, French actors, French audience, and I'd been to France long enough to sort of recognise certain things and put them into play. But strangely enough, when we started reading it here in Melbourne with Ariette and the actors, there wasn't a lot to change. Actually, a few tiny things, but not very much. So the attitudes and the problems in it are quite transferable.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that some more. So it is, as I say, in some sense a response to two movies, actually. Fassbinder's movie, Ali, Fear Eats the Soul, a 74 movie, and then All That Heaven Allows, a Douglas Sirk movie from 1955. Mm. Is that important to understanding the play, or is that just part of the architecture of your imagination?
It's not at all important. The original commission from Tabula Rasa from the director Sebastian Bornack was that did I want to write a play in response to those two movies? So I already knew the movies, and strangely enough, the Fassbinder film is a response to the Douglas Sirk movie, who was a German director who went to Hollywood. So that I watched them again, and it really was, what was distressing was that nothing was any different.
Right.
Like the same sort of racisms and ageisms and, you know, exclusions of outsiders, et cetera, exist now the same way they did when Sirk made the film in 1954. So that was one of the disappointing things about people haven't changed. These problems are still here.
So Ellen Morse, you play Anna in the show. Tell us about her.
Yes. She's a widow. She's a grandmother. She has a daughter who appears in the play as well, Carol, played by Bridget Gallagher. And she is a seamstress. She takes consignments of all sorts of different things, skirts, shirts.
So she's a piece worker in her own apartment.
Really. Yes, basically. Yes, she works from home. Mm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of a complicated relationship she has with her daughter.
It is. It's interesting. I had a conversation with the designer, Eddie Chisholm, and I was using the word dysfunctional about the relationship, and Eddie said, no, it's more that she's distracted. And I thought, I like that. I like
Who's
that
distracted?
Anna. And also Carol, the daughter. There's a sort of they're distracted by their different worlds, their different lives.
They're also distracted, actually, because everyone in this play, Daniel, is working very, very hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the themes of the play is that we're taught that jobs are what gives meaning to life, but these are people whose lives are being robbed of meaning by the fact that they have to trudge off every day and work for the man.
Yeah, I think that it's. I've always written about that kind of thing. It just keeps turning up in my work all the time. But, yeah, that labour is important to people. Well, when I've written plays where people lose their jobs, and when they lose their job, they lose themselves, this idea of the self being so tied up with your labour. These people in this play are all hard workers, and they're all probably doing jobs that they don't particularly like. So what does that mean about how they feel about themselves?
Pretty early on, there's a scene which I really liked where three people are sitting on a bus stop and they actually discuss the nature of work. They have a sort of philosophical discussion while they wait for the bus about pay and work and whether or not they expect to find their jobs satisfying. Mm. What's the issue in that scene?
Well, I think that, you know, there's a lot of philosophical discussions take place on that bus stop in the play. But I've always found that to be true. The conversations you have at bus stops and tram stops and on train stations are always pretty interesting.
Well, see, I've never discussed the theory of surplus value, which essentially is what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
On a bus stop.
Yeah, well, someone's got Marx in their bag. But you know, because I don't drive a car, so I've always used public transport. So some of my most interesting conversations have been on bus stops. They mightn't be about Marxist theory, but they have been interesting. But I think that the reason that work comes up so much in this particular play is all about the value of a human being. How are you valued? What do you measure your value by? How do other people see you, and how do they see your value? So the idea of labour or your work is part of how you value yourself and how society values you. So those discussions around work are very important in central to the play, the whole idea of the value of a human being.
Mm. I'm reminded as we talk that it was the Italian Marxist Gramsci who said that all men, he should have said all men and women, are philosophers. You know, so that's borne out by that. Now, Yomal, you're Majid.
Yeah.
What sort of person is he? Come a bit closer. I love that microphone. That's the way.
Yeah, Majid is he's from a different country. He's coming to Australia and trying to start his new life. Then all the other things he has to face, this racism, and then it is very hard for him to find a job. And all the other...
So his first job is he goes to a building site to get a labouring job.
Yeah.
And there's a racist bastard there, basically. He says, well, you know, I'll have to try you out.
Yeah.
And you say, you're going to pay me. He said, oh, well, you know, if we keep you on, we'll pay you. But and we all know, in the audience, we all know he's just going to use you for the day and then throw you away. We know that's going to happen.
Yeah, so that's what's happened. So then in the same time, then Majid goes to the bus stop and then met Anna, and then the relationship slowly started. And, so it would be good. Like, have you seen the theatre piece?
Yes, I've seen the theatre piece. Don't embarrass me on national radio. I look as though I hadn't done my homework, but fortunately, the answer is yes. Yes. So the two of you, the young migrant and the older, with respect.
That's all right,
Helen.
I can handle it. It's true.
lady who's working as a seamstress, get together and have this relationship. They jump into bed together. And this scandalises the labour, you know, the other people in the building, because, well, it's just inappropriate, Helen.
That's a word, I think, that is in the text.
Well, there you are, tucked up in bed with this very spunky black-skinned man.
Yes. Yes, it's, I think... What I like very much about the way Daniel has explored the relationship is that it starts with conversation, and that continues, and the intimacy comes out of a conversation, which I think is a lovely, tender thing that Daniel has written.
Let's hear some of that conversation in action. They're going to do a scene for us. What's the scene, Daniel?
The scene is, this is the second meeting between Majid and Anna. They've met on the bus stop and become sort of acquainted, and this is another day, and Majid is walking along and he walks past the cafe. He gets into a bit of a to-do with the waiter, but that happens before this. Anna sees him and calls him over as if she was expecting him, but of course she wasn't. It was quite a surprise. So he sits down with her. They order a coffee and a chinotto, and they have this conversation.
I was up at dawn today. I had so much work to do. Then I decided I was going to take a break. Then I decided I was going to do whatever I wanted to today, just for a change. So far, I quite like it.
I was walking past and I saw you. I remembered you from the bus stop. I like what you said about every man's labour being worth something.
Well, it is.
But some men's labour worth more than others.
Some men are paid more than others. That's not the same thing.
How is it the same thing?
What a man is paid isn't always a true measure of the value of his work. Mm. You'll have to get that jacket dry cleaned.
I tried to clean it with a damp cloth, but I think I made it worse. It's the only jacket I have.
I hope you don't mind. But I think I have one that would fit you. It belonged to my husband. Don't know why I've kept it, really. He's been gone for years.
Where did he go?
I mean, he died years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant that he had gone somewhere.
Well, he did go to the cemetery.
You said you have a daughter?
She lives on the other side of the city.
Does she visit you often?
When she needs something. She doesn't need very much very often.
My father is alone now. I have a letter to post to him. I was on my way to the post office when I realized that I left my wallet at home. I decided to just keep walking. I like walking in this city.
How much is the stamp you need? There's a post office not far from here. It's on my way home.
No, really. I'll buy a stamp tomorrow.
You said your father is alone.
Yes.
Then you must send your letter today. The sooner it gets to him, the better. Even one day can make a difference.
What sort of difference?
All the difference in the world.
I'll pay you back for the stamp.
I expect you to.
But not for the coffee.
Not for the coffee, yeah. Ramal Rajasinghe and Helen Morse performing that scene from Dreamers by Daniel Keane, and all three of us are here in the studio here in Books and Arts Daily this morning. Daniel, let's talk some more about political theatre, because the challenge in political theatre, I guess, is to avoid that sense that you're being didactic or preachy, or that you're presenting a kind of simplified version of life, because all ideologies are simplifications of a more complex reality.
Yeah.
How did you face that challenge? Because you do have to ramp up the... Well, I think you're ramping up the racism. I mean, I think you could say fairly that in Australia there is a conversation between racism and tolerance, and especially we are in Victoria, which is, every time anyone does a survey, the most tolerant state. So a less politically charged play would be looking at the capacity for tolerance. And putting it up against racism. So how did you think that through?
Well, I think that... I suppose what I wanted to achieve with the play was that central to the... Well, certainly didn't want it to be didactic in the sense of preaching or anything like that. And I think that the way for me to approach that was to make the relationship, the central relationship between your Majid and Anna, as complex and as real and also as tender as possible. So it felt very real, and it was a quiet, gentle thing, not anything else, but it was quiet and gentle. And that... By doing that and making that central and focusing on that primarily, and then surrounding that with this orbit of other characters. And what I tried to do there was to strip away the veneer of these characters so that it's almost like they immediately say what they might otherwise only think. So just by tearing away the veneer, like you understand what their veneers are, but I take that away. So I just reveal like the inside of them all the time. And it's quite... It's not a naturalistic play in it by any means. It's not realistic either. So that by doing that and stripping away the veneer, it becomes quite shocking what they're saying. What they're saying is what a lot of people think but don't say. But by taking away the veneer and just letting that be raw, like really quite naked, I think it becomes quite shocking. And I'm not interested in writing a play that's, you know, some sort of symposium on tolerance. I was interested in revealing the ugliness of racism because it still exists.
And one of the things one of the factors that has made this play compelling in that regard is the way in which Arete Taylor has directed it, because she's got very grounded performances out of all the actors. I mean, they've really got their feet on the ground. It's powerful work from all of you. Thank you for all coming in. I've really enjoyed talking to three of you. It's been lovely to have you here. So Daniel Keane's the author of Dreamers. It's currently on show at 45 Downstairs in Melbourne. And Helen Morse and Yomal Rajasinghe are two of the actors who are performing in this very ensemble production.